with fathers today. You know, being a dad, when that bundle of joy comes home for the first time, there was no instructional book that came along with it. And we need God's help. And his message through that song to me was hearing, you're not alone. He's going to be there for you. He's going to help you. Listen to what he has to say, which transitions into what I want you to see next. The message this morning, I'd like to give a video introduction. It's from David Gibbs Jr., the attorney, Christian attorney, that an excellent speaker. He tells about a situation, and I'll let him tell it. But it introduces to what I'd like to speak to you about this morning. You'll take your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Are we ready? All right, let's listen carefully to this particular story.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. Way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane. And I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, 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 you got to do it. You got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. And I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're good. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew by like 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, we're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and he can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling. And he passes out. Passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, come on, you gotta wake up so I can kill you. Now we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that. Yes. He said, what are we gonna do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, yeah. I said, Tom, we don't know nothing. Tom, we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell him that's correct. Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you. Because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on and said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you who do not know how to fly that plane. He said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice. Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm. Just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. To listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. Do you realize your head is full of voices? And everybody in this world wants to talk to you. And everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice, and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head, and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room at about 4 a.m. Knock at my door. I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I can. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
That's the message, I tell you. He is the voice. I've titled the message this morning, Listen to the Voice. Dads, we have a responsibility to listen to God's voice. Every one of us as believers have that responsibility. Hearing God, I'm sure you would agree that it's important that we hear. That's exposure. You can't follow God's voice if you're not listening. You're not in God's Word yourself. If you don't come to a service such as this and the preaching or Sunday school or teaching, Bible study, youth ministry, exposure to the God, to the Word of God. It's important that we hear. It's important what we hear. That's the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It'll make you free. Later on he said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It is the Word of God that we need to be listening to, what we hear, the truth. And it's important how we hear. We're not just listening to learn some facts. We're not just listening to check off a list and say, "I was at church." We're not just listening to know things, but we're listening for the purpose of doing. Obedience. That's the emphasis of today's message here in James chapter 1 and in verse 22. "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Father, I pray that as we look into this particular passage, a very short understanding, that you're telling us that we need to listen to your voice and listen into a way that will lead to our response in obedience. Help me, Lord, to share it very clearly, the truth of your word this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Three things can be divided from this particular verse. Number one, it is talking about, I believe, a privilege. Number two, a responsibility. And then even a penalty. I want us first to consider the privilege of hearing the Word of God. America has been given a great privilege. We have the Word of God all around us. As believers, people, we have individual copies of the Word of God. You can find it anywhere to buy. It's not restricted in any way. You have it on your electronic devices. The Word of God is there. You have it over the broadcast, whether it be radio or TV. It is out there. It's on the computer. It's on all kinds of ways that we can have exposure to the truth of God's Word. Churches are all across America. There are many this morning preaching right now the truth of God's Word. Not all of them get into the truth of God's Word. They get dabbled into so many other things. But there's a lot that do preach the Word of God, that the truth can be heard. We are a very favored and blessed country for that means. But Amos gave a prophecy that there would be coming a day when there would be a famine of hearing the Word of God. In Amos 8 and verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." There would be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Not that it was not available, but there was no desire to listen. And I believe that that is true in America today. We have the Word of God available, and it's being proclaimed, but there are many people that do not have any desire to listen to the Word of God. And unfortunately, some of those claim to be Christians. And the reason you know they don't have any desire to listen to the Word of God, either one, you can't find them in church very often, or two, they very seldom pick up their Bible and read it themselves. Not really interested in hearing what God has to say. We need to listen to the voice. Today, we have the availability, but we need to make the choice and have the desire to listen. We should be grateful and not take for granted the Word of God that's available to us. Consider the privilege of hearing the Word of God. Secondly, we need to consider the responsibility that comes with that privilege. Here in James 1, verse 22 and following, it says there, "Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." The glass there is talking about a mirror. And that mirror is going to represent, as we'll see in a moment, the Word of God. "He beholds himself, his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway or immediately he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that's the Word of God,
and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We have here the responsibility that comes with the privilege of having the Word of God and hearing the Word of God, and that is to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, "For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required." There's a principle involved there that we need to understand. Jesus says there, to whom much is given, much is required. As I said, we have been given much. Well, let's not just talk about America. Let's talk about Holly Hill Baptist Church. Next week, we celebrate our 50th anniversary of the church. Praise the Lord for that opportunity. Thank the Lord for the faithfulness that he has been to our church over these 50 years to give us men that have taught the Word of God in Sunday school, and women that have taught our children, and preachers that have preached, and pastors that have been here that have taught the Word of God clearly. We've been blessed as a church over these years. Amen. And with that blessing comes a requirement. We have been given much. Therefore, God requires much of us. We certainly can't take the opposite or flip side of that reasoning and say, well, look, if I just stay stupid, ignorant of God's word, you know, he won't expect much of me. That's kind of like the person that says, you know, when I'm driving down 60, I'm not going to look at the speed limit signs, and I can drive as fast as I want to then. Right, Robbie? I don't think a state trooper would accept that as viable reasoning to be let off the hook. God requires us to know his word. He has given it to us. But when we have God's word like we do, and it's been presented to us like it is, then we have a responsibility to be obedient unto that which we have been taught. We have a great responsibility with the privilege of having access to God's word so clearly. There's a reoccurring theme you'll find in Scripture about this particular subject. Leviticus 22, verse 31, "Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord." Leviticus 26, 3, "Walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them." Deuteronomy 6, 1, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do." And the list goes on and on and on of verses that talk about God's commands are given to us, his statutes, his ways are given to us for the purpose of us doing them, obeying his word. Obedience is our responsibility. Jesus said in John 13, 17, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." If you do them. Not just know them, not just carry it around in our arms, not just have a copy on our table, but if you know these things, happy, blessed are you if you do them. It is a reoccurring theme. With the responsibility comes with the privilege that we have comes the responsibility, and that responsibility is obedience. We are to take heed what we hear, we're to take heed that we hear, but we're to take heed how we hear. We are to do what the Word of God says. And then last, I share with you, consider the penalty for not heeding the Word of God. In verse 22, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Deceiving your own selves. I think many people are mistaken that hearing a good sermon or Bible study makes them grow in the Lord and gives them God's blessing. Now, what about that's wrong? Here's the mistake. Just hearing a good message, just sitting in and listening to a Bible study, just taking notes in that Bible study, just marking your Bible and underlining certain verses, that's wonderful, but it falls short of verse 22. We're deceiving ourselves if all we do is listen and mark and have checked off in attendance. I was in the Bible study. I went through that study with the pastor, etc. But if the study didn't go through you, if the Word of God didn't go through you, I found this statement. It says, they mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. You see, there is one thing to take the notes. It's one thing to have the notes. It's one thing to have your Bibles marked. But it's another thing to have God, through the Word, change you into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes as we submit ourselves and bow the knee unto Him because of what He says. We become obedient unto them. It's not enough to say amen to the truth of God's Word. We need to show that amen by obedience to that Word. Being obedient. Putting a leather to what we hear. Three mistakes people make as they look into God's mirror. Verses 23 and 24, it says that they look in the mirror and they forget what manner of persons they were there. The first mistake is they only glance at themselves in the Word of God. The Word of God is given, they hear a message, but they really don't examine themselves about it. They just kind of glance. They heard it, but don't really consider it. I would guess to say that every one of you this morning, before you came to church, as you were getting ready, you looked in a mirror. Okay? Now, I would say, raise your hand if you didn't look in a mirror, but looking around, but you know, it's possible that somebody looked in the mirror and then they walked in and mom or dad said, hey, get back in there. What's that on your face? They really didn't look to see. We can do the same thing with God's Word. We can look. We can hear. But we don't really see. They only glance at themselves. Hearing but not considering. Going through the motions. Not letting it affect them. The second mistake that people make too often is they forget what they see. Verse 24, forget what manner of persons they were. Again, it has to do with evaluation. When you hear the Word of God taught to you, preached to you, it's important for you first to say, Lord, what about this are you showing for me? Now, could it be possible that God says, you know, I know you're here today, but I really didn't have anything for you out of my Word this morning. You know, you get a bye today. Or is it that God has a purpose for every one of us that are present hearing this message? For everyone that hears online in this message, does not God have a purpose that He says that His Word will not return unto Him void, but will accomplish that which He intends? God has a purpose for us. We need to evaluate and say, Lord, what is it in this message you have for me? What are you speaking to my heart about? What do I need to change? What do you want me to be that's different? And thirdly, they fail to obey what the Word says. They walk away and they continue as they were. Many times I have prayed, and you've heard me, where I prayed is that, Lord, help us as we leave out of here today to be different than when we first came in. And it's possible for every one of us because God has dealt with our hearts. God has changed something in our life. The benefit and the blessing comes as we obey. Verse 25, it says, But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You know the word looketh there doesn't just mean to look, to glance. But it actually is a word that means to stoop down in order to get a close look. Our sanctification verse, there I test you. 2 Corinthians what? 3:18. But we all with an open, what is an open face? Unveiled face. So that we can look clearly. Because we're looking, beholding as in a glass. The mirror of God's word. And what are we beholding? The glory of the Lord. We're looking unveiled. We're looking close to see what Jesus Christ is like. And we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Oh, so often we miss the mark of the glory of God in sin. But as God changes our life, we become more and more like that perfect example. His goal for us, the image of Jesus Christ. And it's done by the Holy Spirit of God. He takes the word, he shows us the Lord. And as we bow the knee of submission, he changes us. We're different. Changes us into the same image. If we listen to his voice, really hear him, and do what he says. What does it say then? When we look that close into the perfect law of liberty, God's word, and continue it therein, be not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? He's going to be blessed in his deed. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye. You know the word happy there is the same Greek word as the word blessed right here. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's my responsibility as your pastor to faithfully study and to share as clear as I can the truth of God's word. But it's your responsibility as people to take heed how you hear God's word, to listen to the voice of God as it is presented through his word. That's your responsibility. Dads, over the past few months, think about what God has taught you from his word. Think about what God maybe has dealt with you about specifically in things that he has brought to your mind. Have you responded? Did you listen? Did you bow the knee of surrender unto him, submission? Repent if there was sin and confess it unto the Lord. Abstain from something maybe he said he doesn't want in your life, or start doing something that he does. Christian, same question. Every one of us. What has God been speaking to you about? Have you been listening in order to heed? David Gibbs had listened to the voice, but said, no, I don't think that'd be best for me right now. We probably wouldn't have heard that message this morning. Because God knows what's best for us. Do you believe that? Then show it with your actions. Do what his voice says. Follow the voice. Take heed that you hear. Exposure. You can't hear if you don't come. It's important to be in God's house. Take heed what you hear. The truth. Make sure the messages you are listening to is the truth of God's word. And take heed how you hear. Respond to that word, that voice, in obedience. That's the dad that God desires. That's the Christian that God desires. Listen to the voice. Father, I pray.
that we have heard the message of your word, your truth, your voice in our ears. Lord, transfer it into our heart, our life, and help us now to walk that which you have talked to us about. May we seek to be constantly and continually, regularly exposing ourselves to the truth of your word as it's preached, as it's taught, as we have opportunity to read. And then, Lord, may we do those things you say for us in Jesus, and we ask it. Amen.